personal experiences of God. When I was a kid, I was quite afraid to lose my belief in God. I've been told that regular worldly folk often didn't believe in God, so I resolved to maintain my own belief. I didn't want to fall short of the standards for belief put forth by my culture and fall from grace within it. Didn't want to grow up to be just some normal person. I was a weird kid. I thought all kinds of stuff. Before I'd gone to kindergarten, I was not only thinking a lot about whether or not the world would be very different if there weren't a God, but I often wondered if my entire life up until now had simply been a dream, and how one would know. I had horrible, vivid, full-color nightmares, often about church stuff, for most of my childhood. I wondered if there really was a female gender, or if doctors had simply done operations on certain male babies to produce girls. If animals were playing dumb and actually spying on us. If dead people did stuff in vast cities under the ground. If aliens had collected all of the heroes who died in stories, like Robin Hood, and now they were all living happy lives on a distant planet somewhere, rejuvenated by alien technology to be forever young and well. If dreams you had at night then caused things to happen in the course of your day. All kinds of stuff like that. Stuff people didn't seem to want to talk to a little boy about. But I really didn't want to think too much and logic God right out of existence. My father was worried about that. Felt this was a genuine concern as to thinking. As to me. Belief in God couldn't stand over much thinking, apparently. So it wasn't thought safe. We really did seem to be doing an awful lot at church to try to make and keep God real, more than simply resting in his reassuring reality. We didn't seem to feel like he made us real. We acted like somehow we made him real. I always thought we seemed to be trying to make him real for other people, especially, like Michael Palin in Monty Python's Dead Parrot sketch, pushing the cage and saying the dead bird had moved when it hadn't. Was that our job? Making God real for other people any way we could? Gradually, I started to really feel like I knew God a bit, though, as a real person. Someone who stayed real, even if I didn't do a thing to make him so. It felt more and more like we weren't just imagining him into being, like he had his own thoughts and feelings, quite separate from our own. Children are full-time imagineers. But despite what adults think, they generally know when something is the creation of their own imaginative faculties. They feel what they imagine, all right, but they know what real is, I think, mostly. So I knew that when we claimed to know God, we could easily have been deluding ourselves, making it up, imagining him into being, telling ourselves it had worked the other way around, being superstitious. I've seen no shortage of superstitious behavior and paths of thinking and feeling which have their origins in superstitions in people of all kinds, religious and irreligious people alike. It's pretty human. God is watching. When I was a kid, my experience of church was, of course, that it was normal and proper, not weird at all, not like other people's churches, dependable, reassuring, exactly the same every single day of every single year. Meeting had always been there, had always been just like this in every way, and it always would be. My experience of God, by contrast, was one of constant uncertainty, fear, and paranoia. God was alive. He could change moods based on our choices. God was watching. His standards were impossibly high. He didn't like any of the good stuff you did because it wasn't good enough for him. Regular and normal weren't good enough. We'd better not stop believing in him, or we'd be no better than regular people. And there could be nothing worse than that. What else was the eccentric, empty, somber life for, after all? To be better human beings than the regular folks. So you kept your belief in him going, so as not to fall from the blessed position afforded unto us. But sometimes you really felt how much you needed him. Mum lost the car keys, and the family wouldn't be able to go out shopping until they were found. A church patriarch was going to probably die of a sudden unexplained illness. A conservative had very little chance of winning the Prime Ministership of Canada, and we all knew what hedonistic horrors liberal prime ministers would inflict upon a once decent, upstanding nation. When stuff like that happened, I'd pray. For hours. I would kneel down beside my bed in my little Trans Am pajamas, and I'd fear that should I not get what I asked for, that this would be final clinching evidence that maybe there wasn't really a God listening to me. Mostly, I feared that he was real, though, but wasn't listening to me, was being all Old Testament. So I was praying for God to act in such a way that I could experience him, to see him being real and caring. As it turned out, Mom found the car keys, and Joe Clark did win the election and serve a term as prime minister that was just about as long as most pregnancies. But Albert Hayhoe died anyway, leaving our church rudderless and fighting for direction. Without him, our church group was going to change big time by the time I started youth group in high school. There would now be no conservative elderly patriarch to kindly silence the middle-aged liberals. He'd have gone to be with the Lord, who'd left us to work things out for ourselves, like that was a good idea. So 2-1 for God, I guessed. Of course, I didn't believe that answered prayer was any reliable final evidence of the existence of God. God was big, like really big. He did what he liked. So for me, my belief in God has been fueled throughout my life by seeing him in the inexorable slow movement of things in directions other than what humans would choose or mere entropy can explain. Currents, changes in the weather. For example, there was the fairly sudden, unforeseen disintegration of my church community right when there was more people coming out than ever before. There'd been some talk of building an addition on our meeting hall while I was in high school. By the time I'd finished university, there certainly was no need of that. It was empty. It seemed almost too horrible, too dramatic, too sudden to be natural. It seemed fictional. To me, it stank of things going on behind the scenes. The whole thing made one believe that there was an entropic pattern, a shape to human error, and one which evil spiritual forces fed on and exploited. It didn't seem at all new, and it certainly didn't seem random, nor inevitable either. In fact, there seemed to be lessons which, if they had been learned, and attitudes which, if they had been repented of, would have made what happened to us quite impossible. I think it had something to do with failing at love, with thinking we needed to correct and control people instead of understanding them. Then there was my own incremental, unwilling growing out of my church culture as it was practiced in my area, moving on in thinking, feeling, and living, splitting the seams of it like a tiny constrictive jacket. But my moving beyond it seems unnatural and beyond me today, because I didn't want any of that. I would never have chosen it. I just wanted to make my culture work. Marry a beautiful young brethren girl I'd met at Montreal Conference. Have kids. Talk in reading meeting. Maybe play guitar at Hymnsings. That was it. But the comedic gong show of how aggressively human nature trumped Christian nature in what should have been our being inspired to love each other in our local Christian groups? The confusing of our semantics as we built our cultural Tower of Bible? The fact that my life has been firmly led away from my church culture straight into an exploration of God that has lasted and which is richer and more profound the deeper I go? All this makes it impossible not to believe in a will behind all of it. To make human beings the only intelligent, aware, involved entities starts to seem ever more naive. I know I'd have remained miserably entrenched in my church culture but for God dragging me kicking and screaming out of it towards something more real, for which thing he'd built an appetite into me. Being yanked out of it was very traumatic, like being dragged through a hedge backwards and tossed into the deep end of the pool. It wasn't what I was raised to deal with. It wasn't anything the culture was willing to accommodate. No success was predicted by anyone, particularly me, for anyone doing this kind of thing with his life. The best of human forecasting would have suggested that decades later, I'd have little to say about God now, and little belief in him if I strayed from my birth culture's well-trodden paths. That no longer sitting weakly under the indoctrination would result in me waking up and deciding there was no truth in any of it. That I'd certainly not maintain the passion or have sufficient experiences and thoughts to write a book about finding God. And yet...